Whenever I come into church and see the red light burning there in front of the tabernacle, I go down on one knee and genuflect. Many of you know the answer to the question, why? It's an act of faith in the presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. I do it because I believe that the Lord is truly present there, the real presence of the Lord in that sacrament. But I think we often meet people who are confused or don't understand the expression or the real presence, as it were. When we use the word real, we mean actually something that exists, as opposed to something that's counterfeit or false or bogus or sham. So some people wonder, when we speak about the real presence of the Lord in the sacrament, do we imply that there's something less genuine about his presence in the gathered community, or his presence in the scriptures, in the word of God, or where two or three are gathered in his name in intimate prayer, or in other ways? Well, when we use the word real in Eucharistic theology, it's a transliteration of the Latin term realis, which means pertaining to a material thing. So the real presence indicates the special presence of God in a particular material thing or place, obviously in his Blessed Sacrament. And perhaps maybe that Latin term would be more effectively translated as the thinged presence, the material thing presence, or the specially located presence of God. Of course, God is everywhere. The span of the heavens cannot contain him, nor this earth. The biblical writers are all clear about that. And yet, the biblical writers also say that there are special meetings and special places of God with his people. So Moses meets God in the burning bush and on the sacred mountain. But it doesn't mean to say that God was only there and he wasn't anywhere else. He's everywhere, but there's that special thinged place where he is. Later, it was the Ark of the Covenant, and that travelled with the people. It was, as it were, the mobile sanctuary, the tabernacle in the wilderness, where we get the word, that tabernacle in the wilderness, travelling with the people. Just in the same way that the presence of the Lord was with the pillar of fire that protected them during the night, and in the pillar of cloud that led them during the day. And when the people then settled, there was the tent of meeting. So it was like more than a tent, a substantial building, but it was the same principle. Later, of course, the temple in Jerusalem, where this precinct and the Holy of Holies, there it was. And we also know lots of us have been to places on pilgrimage, but needn't be on pilgrimage, but often is there, where we know, we feel the presence of God. I remember going to one place and it just drew you to your knees. And when we all said afterwards, you couldn't have stood. Somehow, you just knew. Now, you know that, some of you in Lourdes or in Medjugorje or in Fatima, or it doesn't matter where, Walsingham or in the Holy Land, wherever we are, the places where we feel, we know the presence of God. And it's not saying because he's here, he's not there. That, of course, is true of the material presence, which we know, and I've spoken to you about it on Ascension, I always do, that when he was in Bethlehem, he couldn't be in Jerusalem, and when he was in Nazareth, he couldn't be in Capernaum or wherever it was. But the risen, ascended, glorified Lord. Because, of course, above all, God was present in an utterly and unique way in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And that body replaced the temple. So as the people had met with God and they'd built their temple, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again, he said. And as he dies on the cross, the veil in the temple is ripped from top to bottom. Top to bottom. I was standing in Hay last night and looking at the beautiful new curtain we've got. You couldn't tear it from the top. We can only tear it from the bottom. But God. And God is saying, Jesus replaces that temple. The special place of God's presence now. When we say the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the word tabernacled among us. Can you see all the links, the Lord there? And as that Lord prepares for that journey to the cross on Good Friday, when knowing the time that his physical presence would no longer be with them, he did what we've just heard in that second reading. He took the bread and the wine, said the blessing over it, and gave it to them, and said, "This is my body, this is my blood, given up for you. Do this as a memorial of me." So the Eucharist now becomes that special sacred meeting place of God with his people. God, who is everywhere, accommodates himself to our needs and his presence to our needs, so he comes so close to us. And so the basic presence of the Lord in the sacred host answers some of our basic needs as a center for our belief, as a focus for our senses, as a source of our religious emotions, and a real feeding of our own bodies and souls with the life of God. All that comes together for us in that sacred bed which Jesus gave to us on that night before he died. Now, when we eat ordinary bread, it's changed into us. Always remember, you are what you eat. But when we eat this bread, we are changed into him. Very important. When we eat this bread, he who eats this bread will live forever. The ordinary bread that you have on your table, it'll last you for a while, but not forever. That won't take you to eternity. But when you eat this bread, for my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him. We eat this bread, and we're changed into the body of Christ. Chapter 6 of St. John tells us all that, and it says then, those who did not accept this belief no longer walked with him. And there are people who still find it difficult to accept John chapter 6. But there it is. It's so much central to our faith. And that's why this afternoon, around the world, Pope Emeritus Pope Benedict asked for it, Pope Francis continuing it, the Blessed Sacrament will be exposed for all Christians, all Catholics to come and see. Maybe we can't, but we could still unite with prayer in that occasion, because that Blessed Sacrament, exposed for our veneration, is a focusing point of attention for all our religious senses. It satisfies our needs, as it were, to focus our minds on what God has done for us. It helps to hold us in a stronger focus, and deals with, in the Eucharist, deals with all our senses, so that at this Mass, more than others, we have the incense for our smell. We taste, we hear, we touch, we see. All these things focused on the Eucharist. And towards that blessed sacrament, we're drawn back to God in expressions of adoration, in love, in thanksgiving, in asking and repentance. The first letter of all those, adoration, love, thanksgiving, asking, repentance, spell altar. That's why the altar is central and is always sensed.